My name is Dave Barnhart. I'm 75 years old. I was 35 years old at the time of the flood. And I live in Roxbury now. And at the time I lived in Richland. And I owned a business downtown called Acme Photo Service. At two locations, one on Park Place and one in Kernville on Franklin Street.
So what were you doing the day before the flood?
Well, the only thing I can remember is that evening I started watching the baseball All-Star game on TV. And all the lights went out and everything, and I couldn't finish watching the game.
What were you doing the morning of the flood?
Well, we listened to radio reports, and the TV was on, watching TV reports and radio reports about what was going on.
What were you doing the day after the flood?
Well, I went downtown to see what the damage was to the business and everything, and I got downtown by Eisenhower Boulevard, and I wasn't sure I could get downtown, but I finally made it through all the mud and everything.
What was your biggest loss in the flood?
My business, since I lived up in Richland, I didn't have any personal loss up there, but both my locations downtown were inundated with mud and water.
How did you recover?
Well, we took out an SBA loan, that's a Small Business Administration loan, to get back in operation. At the time it was like 3% interest, so it was a low interest loan.
Did you expect a flood?
No way. Nobody did, I guess.
Did you do anything to prepare?
Well, the only thing we did, we took out flood insurance a couple years before because the rivers come up from a heavy rain. It came close to about a foot from the bridge one time, so everybody thought they better get flood insurance.
What did you do to help the community recover?
I basically just cleaned up my business, working about 15 hours a day, and had meetings with some other business people, and trying to organize something to get money from the SBA.
How high was the water?
Well, in my store downtown, it was about 7 feet high, and the store in Kernville was about 4 feet high.
What did you believe happened to Johnstown after the flood?
Well, there was a lot of small businesses that never reopened. And a lot of businesses closed. And, you know, there was a lot of big businesses closed, you know. Bethlehem, U.S. Steel, some big businesses that never came back.
Describe your reaction to the flood in one word.
Devastating.
What did you smell, hear, and taste?
Well, mostly sewage. It was a bad sewage smell.
What was it like 1 month after the flood?
Well, there was piles of debris that lined all the streets. From what everybody threw everything out into the streets, it was piled up just like it was snow would be plowed. It was all piled up and waiting for it to be taken away. I threw everything out of my business that was damaged on the street.
What was it like 1 year after?
Well, better. All the flood was rushed away by the fire department. They'd hook up to fire plugs, and they just washed everything down the drains. And then any rains that came helped out, too.
What was it like 10 years after?
Well, everything was about the same. Johnstown just never came back. There was a lot of small businesses that never reopened, and large businesses that left town.
What was the most interesting artifact that you found?
Never found any artifacts.
What was your biggest concern after the flood?
Well, I guess it was if we were going to get money from the federal government, which we did. The federal government also helped residential homes.
Have you ever looked back in hindsight and wondered what you could have done?
No, except maybe buy a lot more flood insurance, because I only had about $76,000 in flood insurance, and I had about 280-some thousand in damages, so I had to borrow 200-some thousand.
Did you believe another flood could come prior to 1977?
No.
Was there a concern over food or water?
No. You could always go to Richland or Westmont, where the flood didn't affect a lot of businesses up there.
What was the price of a flood that Johnstown paid?
Large businesses closed and never come back.
In your opinion, would Johnstown be where it is today without the flood?
Yeah, it would be better, I think.
What are the effects of the flood 30 years afterwards?
Yeah, like I said, no real big businesses around, and it's high unemployment.
What was it like 1 week after the flood?
About the same. It took a long time to clean up everything and get back to normal.
What is the worst effect of the flood?
Again, no big businesses coming back. It's a lot of small ones that never reopened.
Who was the biggest help after the flood?
Well, for business, it was the SBA for small business loans. And the federal government, again, helping residential homes.
How is the country affected by the flood?
I don't know, really, the country.
What kept you going after a flood?
Survival of the fittest, I guess. I lost the business and declared bankruptcy 5 years later. Couldn't do enough business. Just wasn't enough. A lot of people out of work and high unemployment. One other thing I can elaborate on is when I really thought there was something going on downtown is when my night shift employee that stayed and he processes film in the evenings. He called me. The phones were still working by then, but it was dark. And he indicated to me that there was water coming in under the door of the back of the plant in Kernville. And that's when I told him he better close up and get the hell out of there. And then I can remember after we got stuff out, there was one heavy counter that didn't move. That's where I had the people's film, finished film bags in alphabetical order, you know, or A, B, C. That's how we filed it when they come in. And it was safe, and it didn't get, just got waterlogged a little bit on the sides, but it was a strong counter, you know. And then when I went back into the stock room, we had a stock room back there. We had shelves of film and stuff that were underwater. But we took the boxes, like the 35 millimeter film was in a watertight plastic container. So we just took all them apart, saved the film. I looked inside, the film was dry, you know, and them things. And took them outside and sold them for 50 cents a just to get money, because people wanted film, you know. We sold that, took those 35 millimeter canisters and sold them cheap for 50 cents, because a lot of people wanted film to record all this. And some of the other film, though, that was just, it was wrapped in a plastic, or a kind of like a aluminum foil type thing, you know, your other film. And it was okay, too. We took the wrappers off, we sold that, too, even the other size films in a basket. And then I can remember going over to the bank. They didn't want cars, too many people in cars and everything downtown. So I had to make a bank deposit. So I walked over, and since there was a lot of looting and that going on, I packed my .38 pistol on the side of my hip, and I walked downtown, walked right into the bank with it on, and did my banking, walked past state police and guardmen, city police, and nobody said a word. Then we had a group of businessmen that got together that Ed Cernick was the head of, and he was going to go down and meet with President Carter in Washington about the situation. He went down there and tried to get money for us, their loans and everything, and he asked President Carter how soon we could get the money, and President Carter said to him, "You better hurry home." So we got it pretty quick. We had a basement also in there that was totally inundated. And at the Acme Photo Store in Kernville on Franklin Street, where we did all the processing and everything, and we had a basement. It was totally inundated. It wiped out our furnace and everything. And our lab was an old big garage back there. We turned into a color lab. And it was like 4 inches below street level. And when I walked in that day, I had tennis shoes on, and I walked in, and machines were plugged into the wall and laying on the floor in the mud, and I could feel a tingle of electricity in my shoes. When morning came and we heard news reports from TV and radio, power was on then, everything was blocked going downtown, Ohio Street, Bedford Street, and I know I had to get down there, so I decided to go down Eisenhower Boulevard and see if I could get down then. And I went down Eisenhower Boulevard, and then I thought, well, I'll go up through Roxbury and then down through Franklin Street, see if I could make it through Franklin Street. I went down Franklin Street and then got to got to the Hickory Street Bridge, made a left on Napoleon Street, and that's the way I got in the back way into our place then. Also, when I was going down, the river, of course, was still high, and I had to navigate around trees down and debris all over the place to get down there, but I made it down through. And then when I got to Hickory Street Bridge, I had to turn left up Napoleon Street because they had Franklin Street blocked off. And because Napoleon Street goes uphill somewhat and then down. And but when I got down, I just turned on to Side Street and down our alley, come in the back way and parked back there. And I parked back there in the mud, and I used the key to get in. It was still locked, and got in, and the night guy lived upstairs in an apartment I had. So I got him to come down, and we started looking at everything and figuring out what to do, and there was just so much mud. Mud was the worst part. But fortunately, I had a big drain at one of the automated paper processors that we got a hose and just hosed all the mud in that big drain. And the smell was bad, very bad. It was all sewage smell. And like I mentioned before, when I walked in, I had a tingling of electricity in my feet because some of the automated cutters and printers were still plugged in, but were under on the floor. And I went and pulled plugs out to stop that.
Good.
Then I, once the phones were working, I got a hold of a lot of employees to come in the next day to start cleaning up, and the ones that weren't affected, and I'm not sure really how many were affected, but and we had some older people that drove for us, our cars, and I just told them not to bother because I knew they couldn't come in and shovel mud and do a lot of physical work, but and we went in, I took fishing boots in and shovels and told them to bring shovels, and brought a hose in, and we shoveled the mud, all the mud we could out, and then we just literally hosed everything down after we got cameras and projectors and everything in the store that was absolutely not salvageable, and counters thrown out onto the street. And which was piled up pretty good because we had a lot of damage and loss in equipment. And then the lab in the back was lower. Yeah, it was about 4 or 5 inches lower than street level. And there was expensive automated equipment back there in a color lab. And basically just cleaned everything up, all the mud and tables and everything, and got as best we could and hosed everything down. I had a big drain from one of the processors there, and we just shoved everything down a drain. It went down because everything was receding. And I remember I had to go, I don't remember exactly where it was, but apply for an SBA loan, applied for that, and then waited for that money to come in before I could put any new carpeting down that we ripped up, and counters and inventory replacement, and even expensive machines in the back we had to replace, printers. Some of the machines were salvageable, but the printers and the cutters and all that other automated equipment I had to replace, and I had to pay bills. But that took a while to get going. But we were in business on Franklin Street selling film and what we could salvage.